BBC News with Sue Montgomery. The FBI has confirmed numerous threats against people chosen by Donald Trump to work in his administration. The agency said they included bomb threats and swatting incidents, where heavily armed police are summoned to an address under false pretenses. Jessica Parker reports.
The residence of Elise Stefanik, who's lined up to be US ambassador to the United Nations, was targeted, according to her office, as was Donald Trump's choice to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, Lee Zeldin. Mr. Zeldin said a pipe bomb threat to his family home was sent with a pro-Palestinian themed message. Other high-profile figures affected include Mr. Trump's choice for Commerce Secretary and reportedly the prospective Defense Secretary. The FBI confirmed it was aware of numerous bomb threats and swatting incidents aimed at incoming officials.
President-elect Trump has picked the retired General Keith Kellogg as his special envoy to Ukraine and Russia. He will have the task of implementing Mr. Trump's campaign pledge to bring a swift end to the war. Earlier this year, General Kellogg co-authored a paper stating future US aid to Ukraine should depend on Kyiv taking part in peace talks with Russia. The US envoy who helped negotiate the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah says the agreement could unlock a deal to end the fighting in Gaza. Amos Hochstein told the BBC the ceasefire in Lebanon meant Hamas was now without allies, while Israel no longer had to fight a two-front war.
I know I sound crazy, I know. But then again, people thought I sounded crazy when I said I thought I could get a deal in Lebanon. So it's okay. I read many articles how I was in fantasy land, but I believe that there's a moment opportunity. Will it happen? I don't know, but we have an opportunity. And I think that's why this deal is so important. It's not just about Lebanon. It's a key that unlocks potentially an even broader door.
Hezbollah had previously insisted it would only stop attacking Israel if there was a truce in Gaza. Police in London say they're investigating more than five people suspected of assisting the late billionaire Mohammed Al-Fayed in committing sexual offences. The timescale for the new allegations is thought to span between 1977 and 2014. Many of the alleged offences happened when he owned the luxury shop Harrods. Commander Stephen Clayman is from the Metropolitan Police.
We have now launched an investigation into a number of people associated with Mohammed Al-Fayed. This investigation will look at what role those individuals may have played in facilitating or enabling his offending and what opportunities they had to protect victims from his horrendous abuse. Our priority is to provide justice, answers, and support those affected by these awful crimes.
BBC News. Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum says she has had an excellent conversation with Donald Trump, where they discussed migration and drug trafficking. Ms. Sheinbaum says she told the US president-elect that migrant caravans were not arriving at the border as they were being attended to in Mexico. US officials say China has freed three Americans in a prisoner swap. The Texas-based businessman Mark Swedan had been held since 2012 on drugs charges, while the others, Kai Li and Zhong Long, were accused of spying. Reports say a number of Chinese nationals in US custody are being released. A court in Zimbabwe has given an opposition figure and 34 supporters suspended prison sentences following their conviction last week for holding an illegal gathering, Shinganyoka reports.
The Citizens Coalition for Change interim leader Jameson Timba was sentenced to a suspended two-year jail term. The others received lesser sentences, also wholly suspended. It means that the group, which has been in custody for over 5 months, will now be freed. They were arrested in June and charged with using an illegal gathering to plot violence. They say they were holding a meeting to commemorate International Youth Day when the police stormed the private residence. Critics have accused the Zimbabwean government of clamping down on opposition voices.
Polling stations have officially closed in Namibia's presidential election, but many still have a large number of voters waiting to cast a ballot. The election's been marred by complaints of long queues and a shortage of ballot papers. Several opposition parties had asked for the voting to go on until Thursday. The governing party, SWAPO, fielded its first female presidential candidate, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa. She's hoping to succeed Hage Geingob, who died in February. BBC News.